Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. There we go. Got the audio up, back up there. I tell you, this is like, if you guys ever watched the old WKRP in Cincinnati, this is an episode right out of WKRP. Caden's in there shaking his head. Caden might be too young for that show, but this truly is. I feel like I was standing in for Dr. Johnny Fever, and that's when the whole board went down, and Johnny Fever's trying to call in from outside and can't get get through. But I think what they've decided to do here in the next couple of minutes is go low tech. They're going old school, and Aaron might just call in and do his broadcast from a call in standpoint. Probably here coming. Am I right, Caden? It'll be after the next break. Yeah. So we got a couple of minutes here. One thing we didn't get to. A very interesting thing happening in the news is we had an FBI agent arrested yesterday. His name is Jonathan Bouma. He was arrested for charges of illegally disclosing classified information. The thing I found funny is the way the mainstream media is reporting this, but they're reporting this of how he was accused of misconduct during the Trump administration. And they want to make you think like this was, you know, a guy that was one of Trump's enemies, right? No. This guy, during the Trump administration, he was accusing the FBI of going too easy on Donald Trump, right? And of course, all of y'all know how easy the FBI went on Donald Trump. He was only indicted how many times at the federal level by these people. It's just outrageous. But this same guy who was accused of misconduct before has now been arrested. I guess he worked for the FBI for 15 years and was going to write a book and took all kinds of classified material and shared it with a bunch of people over different communications devices. And now he's going to go to jail. Now, I don't know how the FBI works. I remember when I retired, I had to sign about, you know, a stack of paperwork about a quarter of a half inch thick. And in that paperwork, it tells you over and over again, pretty much basically, if you're out there talking about stuff that is any way sensitive or, God forbid, classified that you haven't cleared through us and gotten our thumbs up on, we're going to get you. I remember reading that very, very precisely in my retirement paperwork, and I take that stuff seriously, as I think everybody should, but a lot of these people don't care, and a lot of these people truly do think, particularly if they get up to a certain level, that the law doesn't apply to them, that they can just do whatever they want and nothing is ever going to happen to them. Well, you know, sometimes it does, but, you know, sometimes you get caught. There is the bumper music. Now, I think Aaron is going to call in after this break. He should be back with you when we come back here in a minute. Let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. If not, I'll see you back here in a minute.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There we go. This is craziness, man. I'll sit here talking to one of the engineers, and we're waiting for Aaron to pop back up. And Caden came flying in here. He's like, he's not up yet. So I'm on the other side of the board right now. I'm going to see if I can get back over here and look at my notes here. And we were going to have Aaron call in, just doing it old school, like, you know, the O'Reilly. Do it. We're going to do it live. but apparently they haven't cooked that up yet. So we'll just keep on rolling here. You guys, anybody wants to call in, call on in here, 406-294-0970, and we will get you on the air right now. We've got a good little piece of time here before the next break. So, you know, bring it on. We were talking about that FBI agent that got arrested here before the break. And that illustrates an important point that you're seeing from these people coming out of the government in the last 10 or 15 years. You saw it kind of start in the Obama regime and continued on until now. These people think that they are the law, right? right out of that Sylvester Stallone movie, Judge Dredd, I am the law. They think that they are the law and therefore are above the law. They're up there in these positions for so long and in such high levels of power that really they don't a lot of times answer to anyone, say, maybe other than the Attorney General or the President. And no one countermands them. No one contradicts them. Everything they say is taken as gospel. And you saw this go completely out of whack back in 2015, 2016, when they decided they were just going to go after the President of the United States. That was Trump. And you saw them do it again here completely during the Biden regime. And we have to bring back absolute accountability to our government. We have to show these people that you will conduct yourself in a lawful way or you're going to go to jail. Let's see. We got some calls here. We got on line one, we have Eric. Eric, what you got for us?
Yes, Mr. Jackson. Hey, good to talk to you. And the question I have, and I haven't heard it addressed, and since you have a law background, I thought maybe you could help. Exactly what enforcement power do these district judges think that they have if the president tells them he's not going to listen to them? I don't care what they have to say. What are they going to do?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we talked about that. We've talked about that in our spaces that we do every Sunday night. We've talked about that on X. Is think about it like. Judges and courtrooms, particularly like, say, now that Trump is in the White House, they don't have a military. They don't have a police force. They exist, like we said earlier, just because they have a reputation and were thought to be learned men of the law who decided cases based on blind justice. And that's why we trusted them and just voluntarily complied with them. If President Trump right now chose to tell them no, they can't do anything about it. There's nothing they can do, and the only remedy would be an impeachment. And like I said, I think that's part of – thank you very much for the call, Eric. That's what I think they are trying to set up President Trump on is it's a contempt trap, and they would like to get him on one of these things so that then if the Democrats take the House in 26, they can come back and impeach him over this. Let's see who we got. We got line four there. We got this. That's Nancy in Whitefish. Nancy, what you got?
Hey, John, I have a question. Say if Trump signs an executive order, now there's a black-robed district judge that is for the people and believes what Trump is doing, signs a paper, hits a gavel, and says what he's doing is legal. But the red-robed that wears horns district one says, no, it's not legal. Is the people's gavel bigger in the pen, or is it the red-robed horned district judge right? Or can it be done?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand your question. Maybe are you asking who rules, the people or the robes? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm just saying, what if a federal district judge says what Trump is doing is legal and signs a paper? Is that what they can do before the other side says, no, it's not?
Well, yeah, what they do, thank you very much for the call, Nancy. What they do is they, like, say Trump wins one of these, and he's won a few out there just in the last, you know, month. Now, I think David Noble brought up a very good point on X the other day. He was asking everybody, so anyway, what is Trump's record in litigation? And David's making the point that, yeah, y'all just all calm down because Trump is batting 1,000. You know, he wins them all. Just stand by. He's going to win in the end, one way or another. And that, I thought that was a perfect point. That was the tweet of the day, in my opinion, that David Noble put out yesterday. But yeah, like say, like Nancy was talking about, if Trump wins one, then the other side is going to appeal. The plaintiffs are going to appeal back at him up to the next level. And these things now, they're going all the way to SCOTUS if SCOTUS will accept them. So this is, it's just never ending lawfare insanity. All right. And it's all coming from the communist left. We got going to the break here. We will see if we come back. If we have Aaron Flynn, if we got two callers on the line, you guys stand by. We'll be right back.
Did you? From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Mondakistan right now. We're here near the North Dakota border in the northeastern corner of Montana, the Platinum Triangle, as we first heard, I think, last year or a couple years ago here at the Farm Expo in Plentywood. Aaron Flint here. Great to be with you. We've got Kira Berkland here with us. She's the Director of Policy for the Montana Grain Growers Association. She speaks in about 8 minutes, so I got to get her out of here. But Kira, give us just a sense of what you're going to be sharing in the room at the Farm Expo here in Plentywood.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. Today we're going to be talking a lot about the policies that impact farmers. Everything from the China vessels and, you know, the levies that the Trump administration is imposing upon them, tariffs, the cost of fertilizer that we're seeing skyrocket, local legislation for the state of Montana, just the ECAP payments, how they receive those, ensuring that everyone has the tools they need to advocate for themselves. That's a lot of what we'll be discussing.
We've seen a massive increase in the trade deficit that's, you know, harmed American farmers and ranchers over the past 4 years in particular. Massive spike in input prices. Hopefully some of those input prices are starting to come back down now here shortly, but what do you think needs to be done to really get all of this turned back around in the right direction? I know Senator Steve Daines is heading to China soon to talk to them about that $300 billion trade deficit, maybe open up some market opportunities for our folks back here in Montana.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got to say, we really appreciate Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy. They met with the officers of Montana Grain Growers yesterday prior to his plans to go to China. Senator Daines reached out and asked myself and our executive director, what do we need? What do you want? You know, of course, our big thing is, like, let's get our crops, our commodities into those markets there in China. We've got to expand that. We've got to improve the input prices. And I honestly believe our senators, state senators, they understand that. They actually are the ones always telling us, we've got to fix the reference price. We've got to get back to, better input prices. And so I really think just staying the course, continuing to remind them, continuing to advocate for those things, and then them going and advocating on our behalf to the president. It's wonderful that our, you know, senior senator is meeting in the Oval Office with the president, and we just got to just stay with him, make sure he knows we're his friend, we're in this together. But please don't forget the farmer.
I was looking at just some of the latest grain prices and then talking with Clayton Lohr, the president of the Montana Grain Growers. He made the trip up here to Plentywood as well, and he farms south of Shelby, and he was telling me how, you know, it's great to be farming that chunk of land that his father farmed back in the 1970s. He just wishes he wasn't farming it on 1970s prices right now.
100%. Yeah, the pricing is absolutely disastrous for a lot of our farmers. And the uncertainty right now with everything, I think when I talk to a lot of our members of Grain Growers, they consistently tell me that this is as uncertain of markets and uncertain of an atmosphere in farming that they have seen in their lifetime. And so we really have a lot to do to improve that for them.
Yeah, I was also talking earlier with Jeannie Rude. She's with the Pro Co-op Ag Center here, and then also Blake Rasmussen, a local farmer. He was at MSU back in the day when I was at UM, so it's great to catch up with old college-era friends. But big, great farmer up here in the area, and some exciting things with the pulse crops in particular. And in fact, now they're calling it the Platinum Triangle. You're kind of from the Golden Triangle area.
Yes, I'm out of Great Falls, and definitely the Platinum Triangle, and as many...
Platinum Rectangle, my apologies.
Platinum Rectangle, the Golden Triangle, anything else we can do to highlight how amazing Montana is at farming. It's our number one, you know, job producer. It's our biggest contributor to our economy. We really need to make sure that we stay vital in the eyes of our lawmakers.
Well, what a party we got going on here at the Farm Expo. I mean, got the Cahill Seed guys right here. They got about eight guys smoking and joking, telling stories over there. So, and the weather is perfect for a drive to the Farm Expo today. Last year, I had to drive like 40 miles an hour from Glasgow all the way to Plentywood. And yesterday, there were pheasants lining the highway all the way from Glendive to Plenty. It was a great day for a drive.
Absolutely. It's beautiful out there. I know there's a lot of work to be done for the farms, but this is a great day to come get in here, talk to the different industry folks, and just get your thoughts and hear and opinions heard.
It's amazing how much farmland is out here, though. I mean, you know it's out here, but then every time you come back and you just see the whole horizon, it's not just big sky country with open horizon of nothingness. It's covered in business. It's covered in farms, covered in ranches.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And I mean, the cattle, every aspect of the farm life and agriculture is on full display. It's absolutely beautiful.
All right. Anything else you want to tell our listeners here on Montana Talks before you head into the forum there to give your talk?
Yeah, this is our membership season. So if you want someone that's going to work with you, help you, advocate with you, ensure that your needs are being met politically and, you know, with reference pricing and everything else that we can do, join the Montana Grain Growers Association or just reach out and find out how we can be of service to you.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking some time with us before your talk. If you could tap the lady on the shoulder. She's coming over right now. Okay, great. We've got our next guest, Kara Berkland. Great to see you. Thanks so much for your time. And, yeah, I've been fumbling around with my broadcast equipment a little bit this morning, as always. So thanks to our engineer and our producer, Caden, for Semper Gumby staying flexible with us here this morning. But next up, joining us here, you know, I reached out to my friend Terry Farber. I said, hey, who would be some fun people to talk to while we're up here for the Farm Expo? Because he's always, you know, he first introduced me to Charlie Cahill from Cahill Seeds back in the day. So he's always got great ideas. He said, oh, you got to get a hold of Maggie Johnson with Montana Branded. So I asked Grok to tell me about, Grok is Elon Musk's AI platform. I said, tell me about Montana Branded, a business in Montana. And Maggie, you tell me if Grok got it right or wrong. Montana Branded is a fourth generation family owned ranch based in Westby, Montana, focused on providing high quality beef directly to consumers. There's a lot more there. But is that basically the gist of it right there? There's obviously a lot more to that story, too.
Yes. Yeah, they got it spot on, I guess, as far as I can see. I'm Maggie Johnson. Me and my husband own Montana Branded. We're a retail beef company located right here by Westby, Montana. We sell to schools and retail. We have a couple retail freezers. So people can just go and get their meat whenever they want. We do farmers markets. We have a couple restaurants. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was chatting with Arlen Call, the retired Border Patrol agent here in town, and his daughter, you know, one of the track stars here, cross-country stars from the Plenty area, who's now running for MSU. But he was telling me how, yeah, there's a hardware store here in town, and they've got, you know, a cooler section of local meat. And so you can go into the hardware store and get your local meat.
Yep. Yeah, we got the opportunity to put one in our local hardware store. And, people really responded that well, because they can go, you know, when we're not having a farmer's market or if it's winter time, and they can just pick up what they need right out of the store and pay for it right at the counter.
How do you do it? How do you, you know, raise it here, grow it here, then get it slaughtered, and then get it packaged so that you can provide it even to school kids? That's really cool that you can provide some good, solid protein and healthy nutrition to local school kids?
Yeah, we raise all our own cattle and feed them. And then when they're ready for slaughter, we take them to Williston, North Dakota, to Yellowstone River Beef. They do all our processing currently. And then we go pick it up with a freezer trailer, bring it back. We have a 12 by 20 walk-in freezer that we store it in, and then we distribute it from there. Yeah.
What a great life, too. I was talking to one of the gals from the radio station here. She just had to get the heck out of wherever she was at, and now she's ranching in northeast Montana. I was like, you are living the dream. You got to be a rancher in northeast Montana. I mean, that is the dream.
Yeah, we really like raising our kids in this area, and, you know, everybody's just so orientated around, you know, agriculture and family and stuff, and being able to bring our kids into this kind of lifestyle is really important to us. We're hoping that, you know, we have three girls, and we're hoping that they come back and maybe take over the ranch someday or one of our businesses. So,
yeah. MontanaBrandedInc.com, is that the website?
Yep, that's our website, MontanaBrandedInc.com. We're also on Facebook. You can check us out there. We do a lot of updates and stuff like that. We have free shipping. You can order right off our website, or you can call me direct and get what you need.
You know, it's amazing. I'm big in nutrition now because I did this program called Billings Last Diet. And so now I love talking nutrition. But I was listening to an audio book. I forget the name of it all of a sudden. But they basically describe that this doctor describes meat and beef especially as the original superfood. Not just the protein that you need to be healthy, right? But all of these vitamins that are packed in to that one slab of beef. Because of what the cow consumes and all the nutrients, it really is the original superfood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so important, you know, the protein and iron and everything that you get from beef and the vitamins, you know, it's all around just a healthy choice for your everyday meal.
Well, it's great to see you, Maggie, with Montana Branded. Great to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you so much for having me, Aaron.
All right, great to see you. You know, it was funny, a month or so ago, I saw a photograph. It was out of one of our Army bases, and it was a photo of a soldier's meal. And it was all they had on the plate. There was no beef. There was no meat. All there were lima beans and rice. And I'm like, really? Oh, for Pete's sake. No beef, no chicken, something. But the thing about those lima beans, I actually like the lima beans if you put a little salt on there. And you know, maybe that Texas Pete's hot sauce that they'd have in these Army chow halls. But the thing about those lima beans is, hey, some of these plants are high sources of protein as well. And since we are here in the Platinum Rectangle and in, you know, really where this the leader in Montana Pulse Crops all started and is rocking and rolling up here in Plentywood, you know, that's one thing we also got to stress, that they, hey, not only is there great protein in your beef and your Montana, you know, ranch products, but our farm products also can have some good protein sources in them. So we're going to talk with Paul Canning about that and much more here right after this break. I'm playing around with my remote equipment here a second, so let me look at the time. Okay, yeah, looks like we do have to take a very quick break here, but we've got Liz Edmondson here, Paul Canning with us as well. I see him on X all the time. Good to see him in person once again. Looks like he's got a goodie bag of Pulse Cop products again as well. So we'll see what snacks he brought to the table during this break and tell you about it right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, Governor Greg Gianforte and State Senator Josh Kazmaier visited Circle View Farms in Fort Benton to support raising the business equipment tax exemption from $1 million to $3 million, all with the hopes of helping 700 more farms and ranches and small businesses across the state.
We're talking about business equipment tax, which is essentially an annual sales tax on every piece of farm equipment we see behind us. Every farm and ranch in the state pays it. It's a burden, and we ought to raise the exemption. We've already taken 5,000 small businesses, farms, and ranches off the business equipment tax rolls since 2021, but we need to do more. And the proposal in front of the legislature right now would do exactly that.
Brent Hanford is owner of Circle View Farms.
The business equipment tax exemption is huge to me because we're at a million right now, and a lot of family farms, even though it could be smaller acreages, it doesn't take much to get to $1 million of equipment. even though it could be smaller acreages, it doesn't take much to get to $1 million of equipment. A new tractor's $500,000, a new combine is $700,000 with a header, so two pieces of equipment will get you over $1 million in a hurry. I think the $3 million exemption is one of those things. As prices and markets and the industry evolves, the government has to adapt and change those policies too.
I'm Lane Norton.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
With the transmittal break behind them, the legislature is now moving full force toward adjournment sometime at the beginning of May. Every day is filled with committee hearings and floor action, and with each bill that moves forward or is killed, the final outcome of the session becomes more and more clear. It's like a giant centrifuge that spins around and around, separating the good ideas.
All right, Caden, I'm back with you here. All right, Caden, give me the heads up. Okay, I was hearing audio because I'm using my phone instead of all this fancy equipment here. Paul Canning, I was joking with Clayton Lark. Caden, give me a heads up that you got me back on the audio here. I was joking with Clayton Lohr, the president of the Montana Grain Growers, earlier. You get all this fancy equipment, and then every now and then it's like that one thing goes wrong, and before you know it, you got three other things going wrong. And so I had my headphones wrapped around my head like baling wire. And so anyway, so during the break, I'm hearing audio on my phone, and I'm like, okay, good. I'm hearing the studio audio feed, so I'm still good. I'm still connected. But it turns out for some reason, like the Sean Ryan podcast started automatically playing on my phone. So I'm like, because Caden's like, hey, I'm not hearing you for a second. So Semper Gumby, always flexible.
It's like another day at the farm. Yeah. Don't know what's going on, but we're going to get through it somehow.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah. Well, we'll talk more with Paul Canning here in just a second. Liz Edmondson is here with us. She is the executive director of the Montana Pulse Crop Committee. She's out of Cascade, Montana. Liz, great to see you. You were the first one here this morning.
Yeah, I've never been before, so I didn't know what setup looked like, and I should have known it'd be pretty quick, pretty simple, and not too many people ahead of me.
I was just talking earlier, you know, first coming to the Farm Expo over a decade ago, probably a decade and a half ago now, that's when we really started hearing about the pulse crops in this area, and it totally changed the landscape. The pulse crops being, you know, the lentils, the peas, the chickpeas, and things like that, because it was all wheat back in the day, and you'd have... You know, you'd have one row of golden wheat and then one row of black dirt. And if you drove from Wolf Point down to Circle, like, that's what you saw. Or if you were on the other, you know, on the east side of Fort Peck Lake, that's all you saw were big lines, big rows. And the explosion of pulse crops fundamentally changed it all.
Exactly. Just to put it into a perspective, in 1998, there were 66,000 acres of pulse crops. That's dry peas, lentils, and chickpeas grown in the state. Last year, over 1.4 million acres. So it really took up that fallow ground. And as a committee, we are just so supportive of strengthening local communities and growing nutrient-dense food to feed the world.
And here, obviously, in the platinum rectangle, as they've been referring to it, I was talking with Jeannie Rood and Blake Rasmussen earlier, they've seen this explosion in pulse crops. But I was in Big Sandy last August at the Mint Bar and ran into a great young couple there, and they were so excited because they had just shipped their first truckload of pulse crops out of the Golden Triangle. So they were pretty excited to start testing around with it. So it's starting to take off in your neck of the woods as well.
Yeah, I even talked to a grower last season who put it under irrigated ground because the prices are still high. They're still going well despite wheat and barley prices at this time.
Paul Canning, you know, when I was talking with Clayton Lohr and then also Kira from the Grain Growers earlier, I mean, yeah, wheat prices right now, we've seen some good years, and then this is one of those not so good years right now, especially based on current prices down in the fives. What are pulse crops looking like generally with pricing?
Well, we're coming off all-time highs, actually. They're still pretty strong. They're not at their all-time highs, but they're strong. They pencil out pretty well on when you're doing your finances and your plans for the year. But, you know, the great thing about pulse is it's part of a system, right? We're not just pulse farmers. We're farmers. And so when we're growing these pulses, it's improving the health of our soil and our people and our water and our earth. And so it pays off for that follow-on crop. So when Clayton is growing his barley and his wheat, he's getting better barley and wheat because of the pulses that he had in the rotation before them.
That's right, because of the nitrogen that the pulse crops leave back in the ground. I remember Terry Farver, we were actually driving, I think we were driving back from the Farm Expo back to Scobie, and he said, well, let's pull over right now. And he pulls a plant out of the ground and shows me the nitrogen on the plant. He said, that's what it leaves back in the ground. That's why it makes it better for your wheat on the next rotation. Liz Edmondson from the Montana Pulse Crops, if you were to put a dollar figure or just some numbers on what pulse crops mean to Montana and mean to America, any numbers that come off the top of your head?
Yeah, so as the pulse crop committee, we get around 2.5 to 3.5 million a year into our fund. So that would be 1% of the economic value that pulse crops bring into Montana.
Yeah, about exactly 350 million in any given year, just directly from the pulses themselves. That obviously can't include what's going on with, you know, improvements in your protein in the wheat that you grow the following year. But it's very, very good. For Main Street, Montana, made a big difference in this area.
You know, it was interesting. I mentioned how that Sean Ryan podcast just started automatically playing and disrupted my audio feed during the break there. But I was listening to his USAID interview with Mike Benz, which was fascinating. Holy cow. If you've been following any of this Doge stuff, the corruption in the USAID is insane. That being said, though, some USAID programs are important to farmers because it's an important part of our market base. So like with anything, there can be a surgical approach to what needs to be cut out, but what needs to be held on to.
Yeah, so it helped us with food aid programs that we participate in. These products are extremely, extremely dense in their nutrition, highly nutritious, great protein, great zinc, great iron, great fiber, very low in sodium. They're very inexpensive, and they're shelf-stable. So you can buy some very cheap nutrition and keep it for a long time. Perfect for a food aid program. Right now, food aid is it's a mess right now. You know, and the federal government is working through it. We hope that they are expedient about it and that they get a long-term solution built, because we want to continue to ship these products out to places in the world that need it. We're proud of what we grow, and we know that it can help people in all corners of the world. So hopefully they'll figure that out and get it going again. We've got product waiting to go right now into food aid avenues.
So when I was a soldier deployed overseas, I actually liked the lima beans. You know, at the chow hall, you put enough salt and a little bit of Texas Pete hot sauce on there. I like lima beans.
Yeah.
But I think you were the one to first point it out. There was this photograph that showed a soldier's meal at one of our military bases, and lima beans and rice. And it's like, where's the beef? Where's the meat? But some folks, I think it was you, Paul, were quick to point out, say, actually, there's a good amount of protein in those lima beans as well. And pulse crops, the good pulse crops coming out of this area, have high protein numbers in those as well. And Liz, I know we were talking about, you know, spending our Saturdays at volleyball tournaments. That's the life for the next 2 months here. And so when it comes to, you know, just everyday life and athletes, that high protein matters.
It does matter, and our dietary guidelines and the people that run that organization have realized that we are on an increased path to increase pulses on our plate for the Dietary Guideline Association, and we're thrilled that will most likely increase consumption and production for U.S. farmers and the industry.
Paul, anything else you want to tell? Oh, yeah, tell us about some of the products you got here, because you brought some, speaking of protein, you got some protein bars, you got some hummus, all sorts of Pulse Crop products.
Yeah, so Liz is absolutely right. Great nutrition, source of nutrition, and it's in high demand here domestically. So we ship a lot of these overseas, but domestically, there's a lot of people recognize how great these are for your heart health and for diabetes and for obesity. So yeah, we all know about things like hummus, right, made out of chickpeas from Montana. Absolutely fantastic. Clif bars have a lot of protein.
Oh, yeah.
So there's pea protein in these Clif bars, and those peas come from Montana. Absolutely fantastic. Hey, if you like eating protein, you know, Barilla has some protein, all kinds of different pulse-based one. This one right here actually has lentils, chickpeas, and yellow peas in it. So it's got every one of our commodities. They're coming out of Montana. And then...
So that was a farfalla... Is it farfalle? Farfalle, yeah. Pasta with higher protein because of the pulse crops that are in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then everybody knows about Cheerios, right? We've all fed Cheerios to our kids for years. So here's a new product out from General Mills. It's called Cheerios Protein. You can buy them all over in Montana. And the reason why it's higher in protein is because they've started added yellow peas into their formulation. So these yellow peas are coming through a company that contracts with a lot of farmers in Montana, and there's Montana yellow peas and Cheerios now.
That is incredible. Yeah, I've noticed the protein. They got protein everything now. You know, you've got protein chips that taste like potato chips. You got protein cereals now. Protein pancakes. I've seen those. They're actually pretty good. You know, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah. Circle Montana, 41 grains. They have chickpea pancake batter. You can buy it right here in Circle, right down in Circle Montana.
I brought home their. Their banana bread mix, that's a, you know, chickpea banana bread mix. And the kids actually liked it, too. They're like, hey, this is good stuff. Yeah. And it's all gluten-free. For some folks out there that need the gluten-free, you got it right there. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Man, the hour is flying by live from the Farm Expo in Plentywood.
It's March.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'm not hearing the program feed there, Caden, but I can see I'm still connected with you here, so hopefully I'm not cutting out over the official break here. I think it's our time to be back on the airwaves here. Yeah, I'm not getting any messages back from you, Caden, back there in the studio, but that's all right. Let's drive on here. Montana Talks live from the KATQ Radio Farm Expo in Plentywood. Greg Simon is the new general manager here. And by the way, it's just always great to be here in Plentywood. What do you want to tell our listeners all across Montana?
Well, first off, thank you for coming all the way up here in this northeast corner. And I just want to hope everybody's having a wonderful day. And if you're in the area, stop in and see us. They've got fresh pie back there in the corner and some good speakers, and we got a full house of representatives from just about every part of the ag industry, I think. So it's a good show. I like it. Would like to see a few more people.
I think our folks can hear it over just in the background, because you can just hear all the great conversations that are going on. Let's see, who do we got behind it? Oh, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is behind us here. Some incredible hunting up here. I mean, yeah. The secret's already out, so I'm not letting any secret out over the airway. Sometimes the secret's out a little too much. You get the locals that are saying, we got way too many out-of-state hunters. You know, you hear that in Plentywood. You hear that in Scobie. We heard it in Malta when we did a live show from Malta with a bunch of local sportsmen there. But man, when you drive through, you know, Medicine Lake and the wildlife, you were just talking about some of the birds that not just the geese that you get up here, but describe what a morning can be like in Plentywood, Montana.
Oh, on the spring mornings, especially now with the geese coming in, but we've also got cranes that come in. And there are some mornings that's all you hear around here is the cranes and the geese. And it's just a very scenic area. I mean, if you ever stop in and stop at the Civic Center, we actually have a mirror on the wall that shows how expansive our natural resources are up here as far as wildlife. And I mean, you've got fishing, you've got the birds, you've got hunting, and I know everybody's got their favorite spots, but it's one thing I've seen is the new guys coming into the area don't know how to deer hide, where some of us old locals do. So we know where to find them, and that's what matters, I guess.
Yeah. Well, right now, I know everybody's in listening to Kira Berkland give her presentation from the Montana Grain Growers, but just saw Charlie Cahill. He may pop out and come join us here, but I got to catch up with Blake Rasmussen and Jeannie Rude with Pro Co-op Ag Center. They're helping to put this whole show on, doing a bunch of great work. I'll save that audio for tomorrow's show because I was able to catch up with them around 8 o'clock just as the Farm Expo opened up, and they described some of the funny equipment that's here and some of the vendors that are here. And of course the show goes on through Friday, so even if you hear it tomorrow again, you're still going to have the opportunity to come down here. When you talk about the ag infrastructure in this region, we were talking with Arlen Call last night, the former Border Patrol agent in charge up here who retired and came back home, and he's now farming. And the precision that's involved right now, they map out everything with these combines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was talking last night, and some of the guys are talking here now, that these combines, as they process the grain and as they process the field, it can tell them where the grain density is and how good of a yield they're getting, and that kind of gives them a picture of their soil quality and where they need to maybe do a variable rate application, which is where they vary the seed and the depth of the drills and the amount of fertilizer that goes on the field. There's a lot of science now. Farming just isn't messing with the dirt anymore. There's a lot of science behind it, and it's very interesting. And I think it's a very good industry for even young kids to consider. You know, the FFA kids and stuff are there, but this is a wide open area as far as technology goes that we're just beginning to scratch the surface, I think.
Yeah, it was incredible talking with him because he had a speaker last night kick off the Farm Expo from Canada who is, you know, you might have part of your farm that's a little on higher land, on drier land, and then another piece, you know, another 300 meters away might be lower land with more water. So you can adjust your inputs, you can adjust your fertilizer and save money there and get better output. And likewise with your herbicides, you can make those adjustments as well. Precision all the way around. Absolutely incredible. Greg Simon, you know, I can't wait to go say hi to Bonnie later today. You know, when I travel to Terry and I see my cousins there, they tell me how, you know, the kids are taking over the ranch. There's a generational kind of turnover that's happening in farm and ranch country right now. And, you know, your mom, longtime general manager, and now you're taking over the reins. And so just like we see that, you know, the next generation taking over the farm and ranch, it's fun seeing the next generation running the radio station as well.
It is. It's been fun. It's been a real education experience. And change happens whether we want it to or not. So it's good to see the kids embracing it and coming in. I've seen a couple of new kids up here. There's a kid down here sitting here that works for Columbia Grain, you know, that came back and he's working in the local area. And he's 22, 23 years old. So it's good to see that sort of life come back.
We ran into Martin Farber last night.
Yes.
I remember watching him play high school basketball in the state tournament for Scobie. And now here he is at the Farm Expo talking about drones and precision ag and everything else.
Yeah, that's the sad part is it makes us feel a little bit older, though.
Oh, I've got a back that makes me feel older. I don't need any help.
Yeah, no, it's good. And the cool part about it is the kids are the one embracing this new technology. We've got a guy out in the parking lot right now that's got a drone that does application of chemicals, and it's a spot application. So it's a variable rate again. It's that technology embracing. We've got another drone that helps people map their field as far as how bad the rock is or the soil quality is. The technology here is just absolutely phenomenal.
All right. Well, Greg Simon, thanks for hosting us here at the KATQ Farm Expo in Plentywood. The show is open. It rolls through tomorrow as well. You're going to enjoy coming up here and seeing all these great folks. I'll have some more highlights, some more recorded interviews from the Farm Expo. I'll play some of those for you on Friday's Montana Talks because the hour just flew by way too quickly here today. Thanks to John Jackson for covering the studio for us today.